In the militaristic kingdom of Navarre, 20-year-old Violet Sorengale arrives at Basgiath War College with a death sentence hanging over her head. Unlike other candidates eagerly choosing their paths, Violet, with her asthma and tendency to freeze under pressure, should be entering the scholarly scribe quadrant. Instead, her powerful mother, General Sorengale, has forced her into the deadly writer's quadrant, where cadets either graduate bonded to dragons or die trying. The brutality becomes immediately apparent when a fellow candidate falls to his death attempting to cross a treacherous parapet, the first of many casualties, in a place where nearly 20% die on the first day alone. Instructors don't even pause to acknowledge the loss. Those who survive face years of challenges, where only about a quarter will live to graduation. There are no safety nets, no second chances, and certainly no mercy for weakness. In this environment of fatalistic hedonism and brutal military efficiency, cadets form intense bonds, knowing any day could be their last, while the constant presence of dragons overhead serves as a reminder of both the power they seek to harness and the deadly price of failure. From day one, Violet faces threats from every direction. Her most dangerous enemy is Zaiden Riorson, a formidable third-year cadet whose father orchestrated the rebellion that killed Violet's brother. As son of the Great Betrayer, Zaiden bears dark markings that brand him as a traitor's child. Despite this stigma, he's clawed his way to becoming a powerful wingleader through sheer skill. When Violet's squad is unexpectedly transferred to Zaiden's fourth wing, she finds herself under the command of a man whose family history gives him every reason to want her dead. Meanwhile, fellow first-year Jack Barlow represents an immediate threat, attempting to murder Violet during the treacherous parapet crossing. After she survives and publicly humiliates him, his vendetta becomes personal. What elevates these relationships beyond typical rivalries is the intricate web of political tensions underlying every interaction. The rebellion that claimed Violet's brother left deep societal wounds that divide the quadrant. Even simple training exercises become complex political maneuvers, with alliances shifting as quickly as the wings that carry the dragons, who themselves add another lethal layer to this complex web, with their own hierarchies, preferences, and ancient grudges. Despite her physical limitations, Violet refuses to become another name on the death roll. She turns to her greatest strengths, intelligence and resourcefulness, to survive in a system designed to eliminate her. When faced with combat challenges against physically stronger opponents, Violet systematically poisons them using her extensive botanical knowledge. She slips faunally berries into one opponent's food to cause vomiting during their match, uses Les Rurel mushrooms to cause hallucinations in another, and employs nightshade derivatives to induce temporary weakness in a third. Each poison is carefully measured to incapacitate but never kill, showing both her expertise and moral boundaries. She's not trying to play by established rules of strength and aggression. She's creating her own game, where intelligence becomes her weapon. When faced with the seemingly impossible gauntlet obstacle course, Violet again relies on creative thinking. Unable to climb the chimney formation due to her height, she uses a rope woven from stolen practice dummy stuffing. For the water pit, she develops a floating mechanism from hollowed-out gourds. Her meticulous study of the Codex reveals numerous loopholes, demonstrating that rigid systems can be overcome through flexibility and creative interpretation. As Professor Kaori tells her, not all strength is physical. The mind can overcome any obstacle if properly applied. During threshing, the ritual where first years seek dragon bonds, an injured Violet defends a small golden feather-tail dragon from Jack's gang, who dismiss it as worthless. This act triggers something extraordinary. The legendary black Morningstar tail, Tyneerinoch, Tyrn, emerges and bonds with Violet. Even more remarkably, the golden dragon and Darnorum and Darna also bonds with her, making Violet the first rider ever to connect with two dragons simultaneously. Tyrn, whose previous rider died trying to resurrect Violet's brother, brings immense physical and magical power, while Indarna possesses the rare ability to manipulate time. Their mental connections evolve uniquely, Tyrn offering ancient wisdom wrapped in sarcasm, and Indarna proving fierce despite her size. The bonds manifest as magical signets on Violet's back, a black dragon intertwined with a golden silhouette, marking her unprecedented status among dragon riders. The attraction between Violet and Zayden evolves from hostility to an undeniable connection that defies their family's bitter history. Their first kiss happens during training when Zayden pins Violet against a wall. Though he dismisses it as a mistake, their chemistry intensifies through subsequent training sessions. The turning point comes on Reunification Day, the anniversary of Zayden's father's execution, when Violet confesses, "I'm so wildly in love with you that I can't imagine what my life would even look like without you in it." Her emerging lightning powers surge with her emotions, shattering windows. Their romance transcends typical fantasy tropes, intertwining with the political conflict through their dragons, Tyrn and Scale, mated pairs who cannot be separated. Through Zayden, Violet questions official narratives and discovers hidden strengths, their relationship mirroring the novel's themes of trust, betrayal, and redemption.
Violet struggles with her inability to manifest a signet power, despite her unprecedented dual dragon bond, while her siblings showed their abilities early. This absence weighs heavily, given her family's prestigious lineage. Her power finally emerges during a tournament when Jack mortally wounds Liam, sending him falling from his dragon. Overcome with fury and fear, Violet manifests lightning, an extremely rare signet not seen in generations. The white-blue arcs destroy an ancient tower, causing an avalanche that kills Jack. Beyond taking a life, Violet must now navigate wielding a power that makes her both invaluable and dangerous. Dane urges complete suppression, fearing its destructive nature, while Aiden views it as a crucial strategic advantage, calling her the weapon for defending the kingdom. Though each use leaves her physically drained or temporarily paralyzed, the power validates her place among the riders and proves her worth beyond her physical limitations.
During what Violet believes is a routine exercise, Zayden takes her beyond Navarre's protective wards, where she discovers a horrifying truth. Venon Dark Wielders are real and attacking villages outside Navarre's borders. Zayden reveals he's part of an underground resistance movement, fighting alongside Griffin Riders, those Violet was taught to consider enemies. The kingdom she serves knows about these attacks, but remains passive, hoarding Wardstone, the only substance capable of killing Venon, rather than sharing it with vulnerable outer villages. After being poisoned in an attack, Violet is taken to Aritia, a city officially recorded as destroyed, but actually serving as the resistance's sanctuary. There she finds her supposedly dead brother Brennan alive and leading the revolution. These revelations force Violet to question everything she believed about good and evil, loyalty and betrayal, as she confronts which side of history she wants to stand on.